On the Myers-Briggs type indicator, I am an ENFP. That stands for being extroverted, intuitive, feeling, and perceptive. If you know much about the MBTI, you now know everything about me. I read a BuzzFeed article once titled 25 Struggles Only ENFPs Will Understand, and a few of them have stuck out to me as of late. Number 4, having 1,000 great ideas that you never follow through on. Number 9, being a huge, unstoppable force of creativity and productivity an hour before the deadline. Number 10, getting bored 500 times faster than the average human being. And number 13, working towards a constantly altering notion of your ideal self. So you see, these parts of my personality make the new year the best worst time of the year. Because my sense of creativity and the level of constant idea making in my brain is exciting, and it couples well with the sense of newness and opportunity that comes with each new year. I have a constantly altering notion of my ideal self, and I always want to work on that. And now feels like a great time, a fresh start. I want to have groundbreaking resolutions, but I also want them to definitely not be your resolutions, because, you know, I'm an innovator. However, what I lack in most of these endeavors is an attention span. You can't accomplish actually becoming your ideal self when it changes on the hour. So I struggle with disciplines of any nature because they require a level of focus and consistency that I don't often bring to my week. And yet the passion to take on new exercises is my focus for the year. But don't worry, I don't mean physical exercises. Spiritual exercises need only apply. I don't want to change too much, and I will always in some way fulfill the motto of New Year, same me. And yet I want this same me to always be better. And when I read the gospel today, I was struck by the fact that in what is not an extremely long gospel passage, we hear Jesus named and then renamed over and over and over again. First, he is called Jesus, then Lamb of God, then Son of God. He is then called Rabbi, which is then translated teacher. He is called Messiah, which is then translated anointed. And then Simon is called Son of John, and then renamed to be Cephas, which is then translated Peter. We are given in today's gospel a short but deep invitation to consider what truly makes up our identity. We are named, and not necessarily something we consented to. Some have changed their names, whether through marriage or other means, and for other reasons. While many of us have a name we were given, the same way Jesus is given name after name in today's gospel. We are also shaped by the desires of our hearts as we name ourselves based on what we call ourselves. You might say, I am a doctor. I am a teacher. You might say, I am a mother, a father, a parent. You might say, I am an artist. I say, I am a priest, I am a woman, I am a writer. We are participants in our complex selves. We are also shaped by our beliefs. When we stand to say the creed later in this service, we will say we believe in one God. And what follows is a proclamation that we believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we believe in baptism, forgiveness, resurrection. We will identify ourselves as believers in God. And we are also shaped by our practices. This, of course, with all of my ENFP, is where I struggle the most. Spiritual practices are a great point of identity within the Christian tradition. And while I'm fairly good at showing up to participate in this spiritual practice on Sunday mornings with you, the rest of the days of the week are, shall we say, less consistent. Because I become bored 500 times faster than the average human being. But with the zeal of an ENFP at the beginning of a new year, I, with the help of God and my poor spiritual director, am going to try to work on this. And this past week, as I was already thinking about this in my head, a friend of mine posted an article on Facebook about a recent movie titled Silence. You might have heard of it. The film is the story of two Catholic missionaries who experience an extreme testing of their faith when they travel to Japan in search of a missing mentor during a time when Catholicism was outlawed. I haven't actually seen the movie yet, but I do have plans to see it later today since I'm mentioning it in a sermon right now. But the article was less about the movie, which is why I felt like I could talk about it even though I haven't seen the movie. The article was less about the movie and more about one of the actors in the movie, Andrew Garfield. And the article is an interview between a Jesuit priest, Brendan Buss, and Andrew Garfield as they discuss what the actor did to prepare for his role as a priest in the film. And you find out that the actor worked one-on-one with a Jesuit priest and participated in the actual spiritual practices that his character would have taken on, which was when he began this practice only for the purposes of becoming a better actor and fulfilling his role. The Jesuit priest writes, "When I asked what stood out in the exercises, he fixed his eyes vaguely on a point in the near distance, wandering off into a place of memory. Then, as if the question had brought him back into the experience itself, he smiled widely and said, 'What was really easy was falling in love with this person, was falling in love with Jesus Christ. That was the most surprising thing.' He fell silent at the thought of it, clearly moved to emotion. He clutched his chest just below the sternum, somewhere between his gut and his heart, and what he said next came out through bursts of laughter. 'God, that was the most remarkable thing, falling in love, and how easy it was to fall in love with Jesus.' I felt so bad for Jesus and angry on his behalf when I finally did meet him, because everyone has given him such a bad name. He has been used for so many dark things." Later in the article, Andrew Garfield says this, "I was brought to my knees by these exercises, and yet I sit here before you struggling. The act of making the film was secondary to the act of going through the exercises. And the act of the film coming out is third to those things. And the depth of experience follows suit. The depth of the experience of the exercises was enough. And then making the film felt very, very deep, deeper than any artistic experience I've ever had. But it wasn't as deep as the experience of these exercises. And now the film is coming out, and I'm back in Shallowville. And I'm trying to reconcile that." You see, spiritual practices are beautiful to me because it means we can become, through the power of God and prayer, someone who we aren't yet. Even apparently, when we aren't seeking Christ, we can still meet him because God is more powerful than even what we seek. However, practices are challenging because they call me to wonder what practices I must take on in order to grow as a Christian. It challenges me to see that the things I am called to do that feel impossible are not. I can become, through the power of God and prayer, a greater beacon of Christ's love, peace, and justice, even when it feels most difficult. I cannot act like it is impossible for me to grow in my prayer life. New year, same me, doesn't hold up in the life of faith. I cannot continue to sit in complacency, assuming my life and mission as a drop in the bucket that will be happily overlooked by those around me. I must ask myself and discern, what are my exercises? What is my next action? What practices must I take on so that my identity is transformed by God into being a greater showing of Christ's love? How will I meet and follow Jesus? Like Rabbi is translated teacher, like Cephas is translated Peter, I am still being translated. I'm still being recreated by God through prayer and action, so that I may be a greater force of Christ's love, justice, and peace in the world. Simon becomes Peter only after he goes to Christ's dwelling and only after he sits in Christ's presence. This is the exercise that transforms him. The renaming of the disciple by Jesus is an identity change. It is nothing short of a transformation that is his calling into the full-time commitment to follow Jesus wherever it is that Jesus will go. We are named and known in the womb, renamed and remade in the baptismal font. Our primary identity is that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Then we spend the rest of our lives being renamed, reimagined, translated again and again into the different places where we stand and say, I believe in one God. We are called to always wonder how we can live into our identity as being followers of Christ. We are called to immerse ourselves in prayer and exercises that show us how to meet and fall in love with Jesus again and again. We are called to let the love and power of God keep translating us into being greater beacons and participants in God's love, peace, and justice. Amen.